about faith. And just, I know it seems like, you know, the last several months, especially on Sunday mornings, we've been talking about miracles and faith. And then I feel like on Wednesday nights, we've been really hitting on that as well. But I've really been thinking about it the last few days. And I've been thinking about about my faith in particular, about how much faith that I have in certain situations. And then in other situations, I feel like the Father in Mark, when he's saying, help me with my disbelief. It's not that I don't believe that you can, but there's still that lack of belief, I guess. And I've been really thinking about that lately. And in certain situations that I've got going on in my life right now, I've been thinking about faith and what it means and how it relates. And so I started thinking about that for tonight. And Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And sometimes we make faith over spiritualize faith so much that we miss something from it. We over spiritualize it to the point of it's unobtainable. But faith is so simple. Faith is so easy, and we make it hard, Cole. But faith is easy. Faith is when I go and flip the switch, the light is going to come on or off, right? Faith is that when I open the refrigerator, that the light is going to come on. Faith is that when I put my key in the car, that my car is going to start, unless I have a dead battery, all right? Faith is so much easier than sometimes we make it. But 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, it says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you've had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proven genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus is revealed. I heard a quote some time ago, and it stuck with me, that success without suffering is because someone suffered before you. And in every aspect of our lives, when we're going through trials, when we're going through suffering, when we're going through pain, when we're going through stuff, that junk of the world, when we're going through those things, it's building our faith. Because when we get to the other side of those things, we know we can make it. Right? And we've talked about when healing takes place in our lives, it builds faith, right? And what helps that is when we share what God has done, not only to build our faith, but the people around us' faith. God does big things in our lives to build our faith and the faith around us. But have you ever been in a situation where you just didn't have much faith about whatever it was? I'll be honest, I've had some situations in my life that my faith was lacking. I was that dad going, help me with my unbelief. And in those moments, I needed other people's faith to help me. And throughout Scripture, God moves on people because of others' faith. Because of what other people's faith, God does something. And we've been talking about these miracles, and some of the things that we're going to talk about tonight, we've talked about these miracles. But, you know, I think about faith of others that healed someone, and I think about the centurion and his servant. In Matthew chapter 8, he said, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that very moment. That servant, it wasn't the servant's faith that healed him. It was the centurion man. It was his master. It was the leader. It was the one who said, I have faith to believe that you can do it. Sometimes we pray for people and nothing happens, and we say, they must have not had faith. Well, maybe you didn't have faith because you were the one praying for them. Because it's pretty clear that it's not because of their faith every time. I think about the friends who cut the hole in the roof and they're lowering the guy down on the mat in front of Jesus. And it says, since they could not get to him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then they lowered the mat with the man was lying on. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." I tell you, get up. A few verses later, he says, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." But what did he say? What does it say? It says when he saw their faith. It wasn't the dude lying on the mat's faith. It was the guys who just cut a hole in the roof. That is great faith right there. That is beyond great faith. Because not only did they have faith that Jesus was going to heal this man, they had faith to believe that because Jesus was going to heal this man, the owner of the house wasn't going to get mad that they just cut a hole in his roof. Wasn't the guy lying on the mat? He probably didn't even want to go. I think about the Syrophoenician woman, Matthew chapter 15. The woman came and knelt before him, and, "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." And then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that very moment. She was coming to him for her daughter. Her daughter wasn't her daughter's faith. It was the mother's faith. The mother praying for the daughter. It was her faith that healed her. They needed someone's help. Every person who was touched, healed, delivered in those passages, they needed somebody else's faith. Someone else's faith that moved God. It wasn't their faith. And I've been there. I've been there where I needed somebody else's faith. 13 years ago, I had my first round of kidney stones. I woke up in the middle of the night and I thought that, I don't really know what I thought was wrong with me. But I knew that something was bad wrong. And I was at my parents' house. Me and Chelsea were there. It was before pre-children. It was about this time of year, actually. And I remember getting up, and Chelsea was still asleep, and I went into the living room, and my dad and mom were sitting there, and I told them I needed one of them to take me to the ER. And they said, "Well, can you not just wait just a couple hours till the doctor's office opens?" And I'm like, "No, I've been laying in the bed for 2 hours hoping this whatever is going on would go away. Nope, I think I need to be taken." I don't ask to go to the doctor, just so you know. I mean, if I'm asking, I'm telling you need to take me or I'm going, I'm probably dying. So that's not really much of an exaggeration. And they get me there and they do the scans, and I remember the doctor walking in and he said, I don't know why they didn't like do something then. They said, "You have a stone on one side and it was the size of a shooter marble," is the way he described it. "On the other side, there's 4 stones the size of regular marbles. You need to go to a urologist." I was like, "I don't know any urologist." And I remember going to the urologist, and I didn't have insurance, so he told me how much the surgery was going to cost that I needed, and I said, "Okay, well, have a nice day," and I got up and walked out. And that Wednesday, I remember going to church, because I just told Chelsea, I said, we got to go. We were still evangelists, and we were based out of BB, and I remember going in, and I remember sitting not in the back, because I don't sit on the back row. But I remember going in and sitting there, and I was miserable, and I'm like, "I don't even know why I'm here. I'm not getting anything out of this." And I remember Pastor Dorsey called me down for them to pray for me, and I remember there was four guys that came around me and began to pray for me, and the pain that I was feeling went away immediately. And I never had surgery for those stones. As far as I know, they were gone. I never had any more problems with them. I didn't have another kidney stone problem for 7 years. And then they hit all at once. But I think about that, and it wasn't my faith that healed me. I can assure you that I had very little faith at that moment. I was in so much pain that I didn't even want them to pray for me. I just wanted them to shoot me. It wasn't my faith. It was their faith. And there are other times that Jesus said, it's your faith that healed you. There are times that we need to have the faith to pray for ourselves. The woman with the issue of blood in Matthew chapter 9, she said to herself, if I only touch his cloak, I will be healed. And then Jesus turned and saw her after she did this, and he said, take heart, daughter, he said, your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed at that very moment. It was her faith. She believed that if I could just touch the hem of his garment, surely I will be healed. I think about Jesus healing the blind and the mute. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 27, it's, as Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed after him, calling out, have mercy on us, son of David. And when he'd gone indoors, the blind men came to him and asked them, do you believe that I am able to do this? Yes, Lord, they replied. And then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. And their sight was restored. And Jesus warned them sternly, see that no one knows about this. Your faith, not somebody else's faith, not your friend's faith, not your buddy's faith, not your mama's faith, your faith. I think about the man at the pool of Bethesda. In John chapter 5, it says, one who had been invalid for 38 years, he'd been laying by that pool for 38 years. And Jesus saw him laying there and learned that he had been there in this condition for a long time. And he asked him, do you want to get well? And I've always thought that was a weird question, but it's also a very valid question. You've been laying here for a long time. Do you even want to be well? Sir, the invalid said, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. When I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Do you believe? Do you believe you can be healed? Do you want to be healed? This dude had little faith. This is the guy who was probably saying, help me with my disbelief. I think that you can. I believe that you can. But help me with my unbelief. We as believers should have the faith to believe that God can and will. We should also believe God will do these things through us when we pray. We should believe that he's going to heal. We should believe that when we pray for others, that God will heal them. We should believe that when we pray, that God will deliver that person. We should believe when we pray that God will change their hearts, change their lives. We should believe it for ourselves as well. I don't want to pray for someone and not believe that God's going to heal them. I don't want to pray for someone and not believe that God's going to change their life. I don't want to go through life where I'm praying and not believing what I'm praying. Matthew 16, 17 says, and these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will place their hands on the sick people and they will get well. He said, greater things will we do. We got to believe when we pray, we got to believe that people are healed. And we got to walk in the healing. I was read a story about a guy. He had been diagnosed with cancer, and the doctors told him he didn't have very long to live. Six, I think it was 6 or 8 months. And he looked at the doctor and he said, "That's what you say, but that's not what God says." And he said that every day he would get up and he would look in the mirror and he would say, "I don't have cancer. God has healed me." He said, every morning I would get up and I would say that. Every morning I would get up and I would look in the mirror and I would say, "God has healed me. I do not have cancer." We have the power of life and death. Our tongue, we have the power of life and death. That man went on to live 10 years. When he died, he didn't die because of cancer. We have the power of life and death. What are we speaking into people? After we get done praying, what are we speaking into them? When you pray that God heals somebody, are you continuing to speak the healing over them? Or are you asking the next time you see them, are you still sick? We have to believe what we're praying. He said, these signs, healings, penances, baptism of the Holy Spirit, I believe those signs will follow those. James chapter 5, verse 14, it says, if anyone among you is sick, let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayers offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. John 14, 13 says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that my Father may be glorified in the Son. That tells me that if we pray and we believe, then God will do it. If we pray and we believe, God will change things. Sit down. If we pray, God will heal. If we believe, He will do it. I think about the man who's sitting at the gate. In Acts chapter 3, Peter said, walks up to him and he says, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of the Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. And he jumped to his feet and began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to them. Faith doesn't depend on what's in your hand, but it does depend on who's in your heart. When we pray, we've got to believe. But not only do we have to believe, we have to live it out. We have to be living it out. We can't say that we have great faith when we won't act on small faith. We can't say that we have great faith when we won't act on small faith. There's little things that God asks us to do throughout the day. There's little things that God asks us to do in our lives. And if we don't act on the little things, what makes us think that we're going to get great faith things? Faith is more than what we sometimes look at. It's more than that. And God will begin to move and God will begin to do things if we allow Him to. But I think baptism in the Holy Spirit is an act of faith. Acts 19:2 says, and He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no, we have not even heard of this Holy Spirit. And He said, Into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, John's baptism was the baptism of repentance. And we need that, right? We need that for faith. Telling the people to believe in one who had come after him. That is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. And they began to speak in tongues and prophesying. They had faith to believe that, what Paul was saying was true. And they acted on it. Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. The yoke of slavery is sin. But I also believe the yoke of slavery can be unbelief. Lack of faith. He set us free. He's given us great faith. It's a gift of the Spirit. But if we don't act on great faith, then we are burdened again. When faith and the Spirit unite, chains break and lives change. Miracles happen. Do you want to get well? Or do you want to continue to be sick? Do you believe that he is able to heal you? Do you believe that he's able to change your life? Do you believe that he's able to change things, circumstances? Whether your faith feels strong or fragile, Jesus is here to strengthen you, to get you through, to help with your unbelief. And if you're struggling, lean on the faith of those around you. But how can we lean on the faith of the ones around us if their faith isn't working? How can we say you can lean on me, your faith on me, when we don't have the faith? Where is your faith at tonight? Where is your faith at? God still moves through faith. That's honest, refined, and shared. Do you believe that? Ask everyone that would to stand to your feet. Lord, I just thank you for tonight. Lord, I pray that tonight that you refine our faith. Lord, I pray that tonight that you begin to touch our faith. Lord, that you strengthen our faith in this room. Lord, don't let us walk out of here weak in faith, but let us walk out of here strong with strong faith. Not little faith, big faith, great faith. There are times that we are, each one of us is going to have to depend on someone else's faith. When our faith is, when we're struggling in our own faith. And Lord, I pray that you help us. Help us to be the ones that people can come to lean on our faith. But Lord, also let us have the faith when we need our own faith to see the miracle happen. Let it be there. Lord, there are things that are going on and that are connected to our church that we need faith to move mountains. Lord, we need you to move. We need you to touch these situations and these circumstances. We need you to heal bodies, God. Lord, I pray that you do it tonight. Maybe you're here and you've been struggling with faith. Maybe there's a situation or a circumstance in your life. Maybe there's something going on and you've struggled with unbelief. You've struggled with, do I have the faith for this? And you say, I just need God to help me. I need some people to come around me. I need their faith for this situation. I want to invite you to come. I want to pray and believe with you. Pray and believe with you. Gracie, will you come stand in for Kathy? Kathy's not doing well at all. She's not doing well at all. They've put her on hospice, and they've given her very little hope.